thinking a lot about how things have changed during the pandemic, including our eating habits. A lot of older folks have turned to food during this time of isolation, and as a result, we've developed very bad eating habits and things that are not very healthy for us. I've been working on resetting my own eating habits and learning to eat better, but I still want to enjoy my food, so I ask a question. Is it possible to eat healthy and enjoy it? Welcome to the Reset Podcast, a show dedicated to exploring ways we can live healthier, happier lives as we age. I'm Beverly Morrison Green. Nutritionist Amber Williams says we can eat healthier and enjoy every single bite. She shares some of her ideas with me. Amber, tell us a bit about what exactly you do right now.
Okay, so I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, and as a part of my profession, I see clients that want to do better with their nutrition and with their health. So, for example, if a person, say they don't know what to eat, they have a goal that they'd like to meet. Maybe it's they want to lose weight. Maybe they have food allergies or food intolerances. Maybe they have chronic diseases. My job as a registered dietitian nutritionist is to look from the lens of a dietitian from a medical nutrition therapy standpoint in, you know, conjunction with their doctor, looking at their medical records, blood work, and all of that to create a plan, a food roadmap to help them to get to their final destination, which is health and wellness.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say a roadmap, particularly because there's so much construction in Michigan right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about that because we do have detours in our lives, and there are situations and circumstances beyond our control, like diseases in the African-American community, in particular, the Black community. Mm-hmm. We know that there's diabetes, there's high blood pressure, and we deal a lot with those kinds of circumstances as we age.
Yeah.
I was reading a report that, especially during the pandemic, I guess we just decided we were going to find that happy place and began to eat things.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more grease, a lot more fatty foods, a lot more sodas and pops and things of that sort.
Yes.
So what things can we do at this point? Okay, it's after, I won't say it's after the pandemic, but certainly our lifestyle is more back to normal than before. So what do we need to do now to pay attention to how we eat and what we eat?
So I think first it's important to sit down and map out your goals. What is it that you want to accomplish with your nutrition and your health? So once you know that, then you can speak with your doctor, find a registered dietitian, and ask them to help you with it. Now, we come from different walks of life. People have different economic statuses. They have different family makeup. We have a lot of people here living in multi-generational homes right now. So that looks different for everybody. But if you start with the plan, say, for example, if a person has diabetes, they know that they want to get their hemoglobin A1C down. So they speak with their doctor, they get a consult with a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and then we go from there. So we can't just say, as registered dietitians, oh, eat better. Oh, you know, you need to eat your fresh fruits and vegetables. Fresh is best. And yes, it is. However, it is so expensive.
You know, Amber really seems to understand the community where she works, and she knows how much some older folks struggle with transportation and particularly the high cost of food at that little store around the corner because they can't get to the larger chains. She speaks with her clients where they are, helping them make choices and helping them find the best resources. I wanted to know, how did she come to understand this community so very well?
So with my granddad, he was diagnosed with diabetes. I was a young child, but I was a curious child. I always loved science and, you know, figuring out things. So I would go with him to his doctor's appointments. And the doctor would say, Mr. Cordell, you shouldn't be having this, or make sure you lose some weight, or, you know, you shouldn't eat this or you shouldn't eat that. I would be the food police for
That's
my
great.
Granddad.
That's great.
And he'd be like, don't tell your mama, you know, that I'm eating this. And I'd be like, you shouldn't have it. Why are you hiding it underneath the sink? I found it, you know. So, you know, I would go through that whole thing with him. I think from that experience, making sure that I helped him with his journey, because I did see how it helped. Mm-hmm. But I also saw that when he made those mistakes, he went into, you know, diabetic coma. Mm-hmm. Or we had to call 911 mm-hmm. because his blood sugar was so high mm-hmm. that he was at risk, you know, for dying. Mm-hmm. It's that serious. Mm-hmm. So as a young child, I realized the importance of what you eat and how it can help you live a healthier and happier life mm-hmm. and how it can affect your family. Because mm-hmm. I love my granddaddy so much. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to be here forever. So one thing that I talk to clients about is cleaning out your pantry, mm-hmm. right? If you know you have diabetes and you know you love sweets, mm-hmm. one of the first things you need to do is clean out your pantry mm-hmm. and start fresh mm-hmm. because you're going to be tempted. And then those family members that maybe they don't have that disease, right? I ask them, you know, please be mindful of the person that's trying to make the change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe you keep that to yourself or in your room.
So I was talking to my father the other day, and he was astounded that his blood pressure was the lowest it's been in years, 126 over 68. He said that he hadn't eaten fast food in over 2 weeks, and as a result, his blood pressure was lower. He was so pleased with the results that he decided he was going to fix his meals at home. So we can still eat really healthy food and enjoy it, right? Amber, salt a lot of times causes the blood pressure to go higher. Yes. And so people begin to limit their intake of salt.
Yeah. So when I educate my clients, I let them know salt and sodium is not the devil. Mm-hmm. Okay. We need sodium. Right. We need sodium in our body for the processes in our body to act appropriately, for our body to function. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you can't have salt at all. Mm-hmm. It's that we want you to limit the amount that you take into your body. Mm-hmm. Right. And I also encourage them that watching your salt intake is not an encouragement to eat bland or tasteless foods. Mm-hmm. So I encourage them to try different, you know, spice blends, different herbs, mm-hmm. you know, incorporate them in their cooking and try it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just try it. Mm-hmm. If you haven't tried it before, try to add some basil in there. Try mm-hmm. to add some cilantro. Put some lemon juice in there. And then decrease the amount of salt that you add to it, and you will still have a flavor party in your mouth, right? If you add those things to it and you don't feel deprived of that salt.
That's what I've learned to cook differently. My secret weapon now is garlic powder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that. Even if you do onion powder, uh-huh. just the powders yes. still give that flavor. So I'm not missing the salt. In fact, if I eat too much salt or if I bite something that has a lot of sodium in it,
yes.
I don't even want to eat it anymore nope. because my taste buds have changed.
Yes.
Changing our eating habits will change the way we desire to eat.
Yes, it will.
So this idea that changing what we eat can actually change how we taste and what we crave was really exciting to me. But if we change how we eat, that definitely means we have to change how we cook our food. This sounds pretty challenging until I reconnected with my old friend, Regina Lawson. I hadn't seen her in over 30 plus years. Regina is a vegan chef who cooks a lot of traditional African-American food, but in healthier ways. I love, love, love greens. And so Regina helped me learn how to cook greens in a healthier way. Get this, without meat. When I saw her for the first time in so many years, she was still vibrant and beautiful. And I figured, she must be doing something right. Regina, I'm so glad to have this opportunity to talk to you today.
Yeah, this is really nice. I am just overwhelmed.
Same Regina, I'm telling you.
Girl, yeah, my heart palpitating.
I love greens. But you're a vegan.
Yes.
So tell us how we can still enjoy greens.
Okay. The greens that we're going to be experiencing with today are dandelions. And the dandelions have been part of my life since I was 5 years old, mm-hmm. cooking with my grandmother. trying to stretch those collard greens to feed 19 people every
wow.
Sunday. So every Sunday, I pay homage to my grandmother, and I always have collard greens with dandelions and the whole meal, like the macaroni and cheese and the sweet potato and brown rice and stuff like that. So this has been something I've just done, and it could never leave me because me and my grandmother were always in the kitchen, always rolling around the backyard trying to tell people, like my grandfather, stop cutting down them dandelions.
Yes.
But we got to take them dandelions and stretch these collard greens.
Okay.
So, but the family never knew. They never knew they were eating dandelion. And today, everybody's eating dandelions. I can't even find them in the store.
Are you serious?
I have to hunt them down now. I have to go out in the forest and find some and forage them because they're still out in forests. You have to go and forage them in different places now because you can't
amazing,
find them.
Because I got to be honest, in my grass, I do get rid of the dandelions. But now I'm not because you're going to show me what to do.
Yes.
Okay. So what do we have here in front of us?
Well, we have the dandelions here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to... I'm going to combine, I make a stew in most of my cooking classes to teach people how to eat the dandelion because a lot of people say they're very bitter and tart and they can't stand the taste of them. So I have shown people how to make a sauce, and that's what we're going to do first.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we make the sauce, we'll add the beans, mm-hmm. and we're going to add grains, and we're going to have the greens.
I can't wait. All right, let's go. All right, so we have the dandelions, and we do what with them once we have them?
So after we take a bunch of them like this, mm-hmm. and put them on a cutting board. Sometimes I use my scissors to cut them, and these are only for cooking. We're going to put 2 cups of water
okay.
into this pan over here.
Okay.
Which I thought.
And you turn the pan on high.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, then I'm going to add the water to the pot first. I don't cook with oil.
No oil. Wait. No oil at all? Are you kidding me? How can you make flavorful meals without animal fat or at least some oil? I decided to keep an open mind as we put the greens in simmering water to cook them. And how long have you been making greens? You said since you were a little girl.
Yeah, I've been helping
grandma.
My grandma since I was 5.
Okay. And were you raised vegan with your grandparents?
I was raised on my own and fought the whole family being a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And at 11, I decided I wanted to become vegan.
Why?
It's just a lot of stuff I just didn't like.
Okay.
My dad was a butcher.
Oh my gosh.
This just messed up the whole family dynamics. It was me. I was the problematic person, of course. So, behind my grandmother, she would always set my food aside because mm-hmm. she knew that I wasn't going to eat it
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't having it. So she understood. And so she would cook the family's food the way they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tasty. And she would cook mine the way I liked it. Mm-hmm. She always put my stuff on the side. But nobody never knew that I was being favored like that because nobody was in the kitchen but me and grandma.
Okay.
But actually, next, what I would put in there would be, this is the best thing to have in your kitchen.
Okay.
And you don't feel like cutting
frozen.
Or don't have time
okay.
to cut up
frozen
your
veggies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
These
and
are green peppers, yellow peppers. These smell good.
They smell, I cannot wait until they're in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm going to eat some, you know that.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So
then
now we're gonna put the peppers.
Peppers in
mm-hmm. Looks delicious already.
Mm-hmm. And then my thing about cooking, it has to be colorful like this.
Oh yeah,
I gotta have color.
Yeah.
So next we're gonna cut up an onion.
Okay, and this is a red onion.
Yeah, red onion.
Is that your
tastes
preference?
Better. Yeah,
oh,
red
tastes
onion
better.
Tastes better to me. I like the red onion right. better. And I use them in my salads as well. And it's colorful.
Now we, by and large, in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We like ham hocks, right?
Yes.
We definitely sometimes even use turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a very unique recipe that has no meat, no added, no, definitely no oil. So can you explain to me, over the years, people I'm sure have said, oh gosh, no, I'm gonna pass on that because you don't have any ham hocks in there. You don't have any turkey in there. You don't have any ham in there, right? Yeah, you're laughing because I know you've heard this a million times before.
Ever since I was a kid.
Okay. So your unique way of doing it has introduced what to many folks who may have thought they wouldn't like it without meat.
Yeah. That's been a question and something that's always been brought into my conversations of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when I I cook for people that have diabetes and high blood pressure. And so those are my testimonies right there. And so we let people read about that and talk about that. And just to let them know, this is a better way of eating and healing the body is by eating this way. And it's a choice. And it's become my lifestyle though.
So tell us, what is your normal, like your everyday meal like? So what do you have for breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Okay, every day I have a breakfast oatmeal smoothie.
Okay.
And my smoothie consists of oatmeal, of course. And we need to eat 5 to 7 fruits and vegetables each.
Right.
But people say, I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You take 5 fruits and put them in the blender. Put a cup of oatmeal in there. Then you want to add water, or you can add some type of milk, but non-dairy milk. I'll say non-dairy
milk. Okay, so
because I don't drink any milk at all.
Okay,
so you can try and see which one you like. I like the oat milk the best.
Oat milk,
because it comes from the oats.
Okay,
and then my second choice would probably be almond milk.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So then, that's what you have for breakfast. Mm-hmm. You fix your smoothie. Mm-hmm.
Lunchtime, I gotta have a sandwich.
Okay,
and it's basically a salad sandwich.
A salad sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of bread?
Sprouted bread. Like, there's a brand called Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Yeah, I've definitely heard about this bread. They're whole grain, they're healthier, but they're not inexpensive. I know there's a lot of people who have a hard time putting any food on their table, much less healthy food. So I reached out to Jessica Ramsey, who's a researcher at the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. She does a lot of work with food banks in Detroit.
Jessica, when we need to eat healthy, the affordability of food that is healthier is definitely difficult for some people to obtain.
As you mentioned, food access and food security is an ongoing issue for many people, mm-hmm. especially across the pandemic in the past couple of years. But the good news is that there are resources out there and programs that are really fighting to be able to bring folks food at a lower cost or no cost. And a lot of those, I think really looking at local options in the community is always a good way to go. So food pantries, there is a website for Southeast Michigan called pantrynet.org that has a very comprehensive list of pantries that are walk-in or stationary brick and mortar pantries, or even mobile food distributions where you can drive up and get food. And there are churches, organizations, schools. I also recommend looking into benefits that are allocated by the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP benefits. And there are qualifications there, but those can really help offset some of the cost of food in purchasing food at local farmers markets and grocery stores mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the primary places to look for food. Again, food pantries, local food banks, even looking to health departments to ask for what resources are in the local county, state, city health departments near you.
Okay, so there's a lot of folks who get their food either at a very low cost or for free. And so I went back and I talked to Amber about how we can utilize all of the foods that we get.
Okay, so what you have is what you have, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to work with what you got. Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell my mm-hmm. clients. You have to work with what you have. For like pastas and things like that, in order to increase your nutrient intake, do whole grains.
Okay.
Shelf-stable foods like those canned goods that are cheaper to buy. If you have to choose that, try to do in its own natural juices mm-hmm. and or low-sodium options. Now, the next step up is frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Those frozen options are fresh frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So they still, retain a lot of the vitamin and mineral content. So for those people who don't have that, the fresh farmers markets in their area where they could walk to, or the grocery shopping chains where they can go get those fresh fruits and vegetables, if they get those frozen, it helps.
Now, speaking of food services, food delivery services in particular, as we age, we have a couple of options, and people will bring certain foods to your door, as you stated, and free of charge because you're a Medicare or Medicaid recipient.
Yes.
And so many times those are not the best things to be consuming, if you will.
Right.
But what can we do to make it more nutritional? I know that you were talking about frozen vegetables and maybe canned vegetables. Are those options that we can use along with what we receive from these food delivery services?
Absolutely. Jazz it up. Jazz it. We know how to do it. We know how to do it. You know, little becomes much, you know, in our hands.
Yes.
When, you know, as generations in the African-American community, what we have, we made it work. Over, you know, our history. We
Absolutely.
Still do. We make it work. So I would say sometimes some of those meals that we get from meal delivery services are high in sodium. Sometimes maybe they don't taste like what we want them to taste like, maybe because they don't have as much sodium and or because they're not culturally specific. Right?
Yes.
They're not culturally specific. So this is what I would say. If you get something and you feel like it's bland, I don't like this, right? You get those herbs and spices and you season it up. You put it in another pan, put it in the oven, bake it a little bit more, get some caramelization on it,
right?
And it will be good.
Right.
It will be good.
I remember reading about and seeing news stories about how Detroit neighborhoods, people are able to purchase the lot either next door, across the street, or down the street where abandoned homes were torn down, and they created their own gardens.
But it's one thing to have a piece of land and another to know what to do with it. I asked Jessica Ramsey about that.
Jessica, I was thinking about the urban farms. I think the city has such a wonderful program where people can buy the vacant lot next to them. But now they have time to actually, you know, create this farm. So are there programs out there to help people learn urban farming?
Yes, there are. And that is, I think, one of the most exciting areas in related to food access and helping people to learn where food comes from as well. There's a lot more that goes into it. So, and one of the longest standing programs that I know of is through Keep Growing Detroit.
Okay.
For those that are near Detroit, it's a longstanding farm that is near Eastern Market, which of course is a very well-known area. And there is so much programming through Keep Growing Detroit. People can go to different events that they host and learn how to garden and subscribe to their programs. So I am familiar with that. And I know that that's a longstanding resource for folks that want to get into growing their own food. I know I'm personally trying to learn how to grow some things as well.
I'm not sure the same thing about me. You know, I got this little kit from, I don't know, maybe the dollar store where you can just, you know, it's like a bag and it's got little holes in it and you can water it and, you know, tomatoes and things like that grow out of this thing, right?
Yes.
Somehow like the flies and stuff started getting on the tomatoes, right?
Yeah.
So I said, forget it. I'm never doing this again.
I know, right? And you get frustrated and you're like, I don't know how to fix this.
Yeah,
there's a lot to learn for sure
With
growing, but it's worth it. And I know that, you know, I've seen a lot of folks that do not know anything about gardening, and the next year or the two seasons later, they've got a whole little vegetable garden going.
So whenever we're getting our vegetables, meats, and grains, my friend Regina says the secret is knowing what herbs and spices to add to bring out the best flavor. And I'm telling you, her vegetarian dishes for meat lovers like me are converting us every day.
So when people actually taste it, especially people who are used to eating with the meat in the greens, because greens is a big part of the African-American community.
Yes, it is.
Gotta have sweet potatoes, macaroni, cheese, and greens, right?
Gotta have it.
What, you know, you do have some people that have had high blood pressure, but there are some people who just genuinely enjoy it.
Yeah.
And how has that been for you to actually introduce something new?
When I'm around people that cook the way they cook, I'm going to have my food the way I'm going to eat it. And of course, they want to try it. That's where the interest comes in. They're like, this is good.
Okay.
They have to admit it.
It's
because
a lot of flavor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, and it's because of the herbs and the spices I'm using.
Right.
I just add some cayenne. I always cook with cayenne and garlic.
Okay.
That's in everything.
Garlic powder.
Powder and the onion too, but today we're going to have garlic. No garlic salt.
Okay.
And that's what everybody cooks with, is garlic salt. Yeah. They need to get the genuine granules of garlic powder.
Okay.
I've added the pepper flakes,
okay,
the garlic powder. I'm going to always put celery in here because celery is a diuretic.
Okay.
And it really helps to eliminate water on the body. Okay. It helps some people get away from taking those water pills.
Okay.
Yeah, so we put a little bit of that.
So you have a whole remedy for... different types of ailments that we
but
have.
But illnesses,
in our
yeah.
So diabetes is one, high blood pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I'm making now, if you were to eat these spices every day, then that would help you with your illnesses. That would bring down high blood pressure. It would bring down your blood sugar levels as well.
Okay.
But you have to do it every day.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are simmering the food right now.
Yeah.
We have the beans. What are the beans?
This one has the black beans, pinto beans, and your kidney beans. And these are the most important beans to have.
My faves.
Yeah. It's organic.
Okay.
It's a 365 whole food brand. It's got three beans in it.
So you pour the whole can in?
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to rinse it today. A lot of people rinse off their beans, but I don't.
Okay.
I like everything that's in it.
Okay.
So we're going to stir this up a little bit.
All right. I wish you guys could see this. It looks delicious.
You can smell it. See those beautiful colors coming together. I got to add a little bit.
This is liquid.
Amino acid.
So what are some of the ingredients now? We know we need the dandelions.
Yes.
So we need an onion.
Yeah.
And it could be
other
whatever.
Than a dandelion, you want to cook them with another green, some spinach, any kind of green.
Spinach or, okay.
You know, remember I said greens, beans, and grains.
Yes.
As long as you put all that together, you had a good meal to start.
Right. Okay. So some of the ingredients here we talked about, just in general, you have the whole celery, you have the granulated onion powder, and tell us more.
Okay, we got crushed red pepper, so you can use just the granulated cayenne pepper here. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, garlic, celery seeds, and onion powder.
Okay. And then, of course, the beans.
As I was cooking with Regina, I realized how much she was putting into practice what Amber had actually talked about. She was cooking with more herbs to add flavor rather than salt, and she was making the most out of what foods she had on hand. Shelf-stable spices, canned beans, couscous, fresh frozen bell peppers from the freezer, and dandelion greens that she could forage from her own yard in the spring, summer, and fall and grow them in her windowsill in the winter.
So what are we doing with these greens over here?
Let's go here and find out.
They're smelling too good for me to ignore.
Let's see if they have wilted down a little bit.
Okay. I can hear that. Now see
it's cooking now.
It's cooking now.
It's cooking now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That
smells. How you like that smell?
Delicious. So you got involved in vegan organizations and you started one yourself. And how has that, how has that trend changed over the years? Do you see more people being engaged in being vegan?
I ain't the crazy lady no more.
You were back then.
Oh, I was a nutcase. Finally, when everybody started becoming vegetarian, I got happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can talk about it, because back then you couldn't talk about it. Most people would just shun you, just totally just think that you don't have good sense.
Mm-hmm. So now, fast forwarding to today, after people have been sick, they have diabetes, they have high blood pressure, they come to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're looking for Mama Raven now. But before, they didn't want to talk to her. So you don't even have to just go on another whole food regimen. Just eat the things you like, but you got to tweak it a little bit.
Okay. So that's the first step in getting
just tweak. Just make your list of the things you love to eat. When I help people out, I ask them, what are your five favorite dishes of food?
Mm-hmm.
And then we give them the same thing to say, you're going to take away that. No, I'm not. We're not going to take that from you. We're going to show you how to cook it another way. But first of all, we're going to cook it for you and we're going to let you taste it. And then they're just overwhelmed with it.
Okay. All right, that's very good.
Because it's smelling like it's herbs. It's nothing but herbs and water in that food.
It smells wonderful.
You didn't need the oil. You didn't need salt. So when you add couscous, you got to keep stirring it and stirring it. Okay. And it's usually in a cup of water.
Okay.
And after you get it all incorporated together, we put the top back on for a minute and let it dry up. And it'll be ready in a few minutes.
Within 5 minutes of adding the couscous, it was ready and it was delicious. I was eating a super healthy meal with no animal products. And I
there
loved
you go.
It. Oh my God.
I hope it tastes good.
This is really, really good.
Thank you.
I realize what I put in my body becomes more and more important, especially as I get older. You know, Amber talked about how our spiritual lives can certainly support us in this venture.
Us being the temple that God created for us, we are put here to take care of that temple.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't bring just anything to the temple anyway. You know what I'm saying? The temple is supposed to be something that is holy and clean and something that helps us get there as well.
That's right.
You know, Regina, Jessica, and Amber really helped me see I didn't have to choose between eating healthy and enjoying my food.
It's so tempting to fall back into old habits, and I must confess I have. But I've taken what Amber said to heart, and I'm definitely treating my body as my temple, and I'm attempting to eat foods that are not only delicious, but also very healthy. Things that will help me feel my best, live well, and thrive. I hope you join us for the next Reset podcast episode. We're going to talk about mindfulness and how it helps us live healthier lives. Until then, live well.
The Reset podcast is a project of the University of Michigan School of Public Health in partnership with the Detroit Health Department and is produced by Michigan Media. Funding is provided by the National Institute of Nursing Research.